There's an argument here in this area between Moshe and the philosophers.
Moshe ben Alshon and the philosophers.
But Galen did not know what the argument was. He sent some argument there. And he pulled up something. Corey had it. But he didn't have it. He had something wrong. So yes. Ki Yesham Dvarim, he says, Aymer Moshe Shehem Yisuga Afshari. Moshe ben says certain things are possible. Vizulasa Yema Shehem Yisuga Nina. And other things Moshe Ben will say they are impossible. Ba'machloikis hazu ba'isim advarim nispachas le'machloikis shehi be'ikrim. The galinis lehirgish pekach, ne'ni yedei azayis alashim megashish pekach bovad. It's like this. It says, the machloikis is not in the categories of possible and impossible. That's not the machloikis, but there is an argument there. There is an argument there. And really, you can deduce this from the Maimat Tfias HaMesim, which the Rambam says in the end of Maimat Tfias HaMesim. If you read the Maimat Tfias HaMesim carefully, you know Maimat Tfias HaMesim, you'll know what he says over there. But over there, it's like learning the Rambam and the Yad HaZaka and deduce against it. And over here, it's like the explanation. See? So he says like this. He says, the machloikis, the argument between Reish Ben Ol Hashem and the philosophers, is an argument which is dependent upon the eternity of the universe. What's the argument? The argument is the realm which you allow for possibility. The amount...
In what is possible?
What?
What is possible?
That's right. Moshe Rabbeinu agrees that we do not attribute to God the ability to do the impossible. Not attribute it. The old Pasha. Can God make a rock? The argument is based upon an imagination of man. Because when you're a child, you imagine you live in this state. It's an absurdity. Because the inability itself is perfection. I mean, it's an ability to acquire disease is perfection. It's just in a childish mind, you have an idea of Superman to live. So we, but philosophically, have to outgrow that. Therefore, we do not attribute to God the ability to do the impossible. God can never make himself into a human being. That's one of the things that I mentioned. I'm looking considered to be obviously impossible. God can never destroy himself. Okay. So, he says like this. However, we don't attribute to God the ability to do the impossible, but what we do say is that there is an argument as to what precisely the realm of the possible is. And this argument depends upon another argument, which is the argument of the eternity of the universe. That's important to know. It's important to know. That's it. We can't know every aspect of the eternity of the universe, but you should know what the basic idea is of the eternity of the universe. Matter of fact, the Rambam says that this is second most important to Yichud Hashem. He says every person who's a Baal Torah should know this.
Eternity
universe.
We say it's not, they say it is.
Now, see, you have to understand something. When you take... For instance, when you just read about these things, you take courses in college about the eternity of the universe. What do you care about that? You don't really understand what the argument is between those that say the eternity of the universe and those. I mean, who cares, really? Then I take over the Rambam, you know, and the Rambam's arguing so much about eternity, not eternity. Who cares? Not eternity. Rashi says not eternity. You have to understand that if there's an argument there, there's an important principle. Just like you know, Machlokes and Gemara, for no reason at all, there's an underlying principle. In these areas as well, there are underlying principles, an important reason why this should be a central feature, a central area of philosophy. Why the ancients argued about the eternity of the universe and whether the eternity of God. See? Okay. Now I'm explaining. Okay. How many views did he get? Two. How many views did he say Galen has?
Four.
Four. Okay, I'll take the third one. The third view is Amra, he said, Ki Moshe Savor. That Moshe thinks, Shashem Ilu Ratzo Livrei Mina Ephesus, that God, if he wished to create from ashes, he could create a horse. A shore or an ashram vasachas instantaneously, by ray, he could do it. Zen Achlein, that's true. She asked Rachel's Moshe. Moshe definitely did that one. The Hitei Tzachi Yuvis, and and this is a necessary result. Le'ikra ikrim shalom. This must necessarily result to Moshe Rabbeinu according to his very basic premises. K'moshe Navar, I will explain more further. Okay?
So you have three.
The first two are non-attributable. The first one was that here is a tavor commandment. Something was not about sechel, but not
second one was?
The what? Second? What was the second one?
The tavor was the way it's possible.
The realm of the possible and the impossible, which Moshe Rabbeinu agrees exists. There is an argument within that from Ashes, a horse, an ox. Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes, he can do it. He says that that is right.
Is it the second argument? Let's put that one in the second one.
We'll see. And the fourth thing that he introduces, Amro ki Moshe sover she'en Hashem b'yecher et zachemer hamasim. This Galen says Moshe Rabbeinu does not believe it. We say he's false in that premise. Now, the question is, what about the particular possibility of creating a horse from ashes? Can God do it or not? So what does Ram say?
Yes.
He can. This Galen was right. This definitely Moshe Rabbeinu agrees with. And this is our stuff, and this is our view, this is the view of Torah. This is the view of Yadis. Mashkof or if he is the fourth one, Omri. He says, the fourth thing is that God, according to Moshe Rabbeinu, Galen says, that God does not choose the media, proper media, the media for the proper result.
What do you mean?
He says, in other words, like he doesn't change the substance under which the eyebrows are allowed to have every result, but yes. He says, the cartilage type of skin under the reason. This Moshe Rabbeinu agrees, and Galen falsely attributes this to Moshe
Rabbeinu.
Why is
that what? That he disagrees.
Right. He agrees.
But he really doesn't agree. But Galen says that he doesn't agree.
No, it's right. There's four things that Galen says. Three of them are falsely attributed to Moshe. One of them are correctly attributed to Moshe.
Right. See?
Okay. Right?
Now, what does Gale say about the...
He says that we believe that God chooses media with which to secure certain results.
Right, and Gale says that Moshe does not believe this.
And Gale says Moshe doesn't believe this.
But really Moshe doesn't believe this.
Really Moshe doesn't believe this. He falsely attributed this to Moshe. Okay? There's only one thing that he was correct in, attributing to Moshe. And that was... What?
The
instantaneous... creation of a horse from ashes. The instantaneous change of one substance into another, that's what I mean. That instantaneous conversion God can do.
So you said that God doesn't mean possible.
That is possible. Why? Masha Bia Maisha Vashalam Shane Hashem Aisan Umal Vatala by Ashi is Damin Ella Kol Masha Boratai Bai. He says what Maisha Bina holds is that God does not do anything purposeless. There is nothing that God performs without a purpose. Which means, what do you mean by that?
That's what it means
that things are done for a purpose, which means things are produced as a medium. Of course, when you say something is done for a purpose, it means that this thing is done in order to have something else, which means that God acts in the way of creating media. You see? The Kol Mashabar Taiv Mai, as Ram interprets the Pasuk of Hashem, Minei Taiv Mai, what does it mean, Minei Taiv Mai? Everything was good, Taif Mai. Very good. What's good? Good means that everything we created had a purpose. Everything was Taif Mai means everything had a function of purpose. That's what the statement means after each part, after each day. Taif means only good. Name serves its purpose. Serves its function. For I say that Tzedek is Mida. Correctly and justly. Moshe should be argued, Moshe should be argued, but he said, yeah, das, like I explained in the Hazakh. Well, Pia Klawa said the hamlet. And according to this, we know for a fact, Pia Ayan Le Nikva Ba Hashit for Ha Andis. Elikide Liris. I don't know how it turns to well. The layer, certain layers in the eye. He means that the pupil in there. It's Nikva as a hole, there's a space in there. Why? In order so that man could see. Because then the nerves are exposed, and the nerves pick up the sensory nerves pick up the light. The shot, some like when the skashu bin nikvu alikadeshi he actually shine a land. And the bones were hard, why? Because it's the frame to carry the rest of the body. But ka koma shiyesh bizuf bali achayim. Af koma shiyesh bimitzius. Kimo shaman aviyin. Hanoim acharei moishya ala shaman. Shikoma shibar Hashem b'chach ma'asaisai. Everything that God created was created with knowledge, and everything in the human body and in the universe was created for purpose, but nothing was just created. Something like that. V'ayagolinus mevenes eyechida azumei ashkafas meisha. And Galen understood this about ashkafas meisha. V'hi is avos hadovah b'vas achas, shelo kidera hateva, kafichas hamata nochosh, v'ofar kinen. U'lefikach efsher etzlo, shiyya or efresus, osho b'vas achas. His latest. Now Galen knew this idea, that a thing can be converted instantaneously according to Moshe Rabbeinu's view. Where do we know it from? From where do we know it? Where do we get it? Where do we get it from? To the Torah. Because the Torah says the Mata was converted to Nachash. The Mata was converted to Nachash. And it says the offer became Kinnim in the triumph. Right? And it wasn't magic, but the Mitzvim was just a sleight of hand, but it was real. L'fikach efshes lo shiyei chesus ha'shev v'atzachas is enough in it. Correct? The Yish Kapos Moshe. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's view. And all these things are necessarily resultant. Necessarily follows from the premise which Moshe Rabbeinu holds. Vahu, and that is Sha'ala Mechudish. That the world is not permanent, but the world was created. Mechudish, good Sha'ala, not eternal universe. Created Sha'ala Mechudish. Because what does it mean, Chiddush Olam? The world was created from nothing. That God is eternal, Kadmai. Asher ein reishis l'reishiso. There's no beginning to God. The ein zuvas levado, alone, only to God. The ein zuvaso imo, and there is nothing else with him besides him that is eternal. The shehu chiddush olam achar haheder hamufa, and that he created the world after total absentia of anything. From that, and he created the heavens and everything that's in them, and he created the substance, first substance under the heavens, it be as the Yisodas Halolah L'chola Shehukah V'hen Kifi Ativim Halolah Shehanu V'Romosom, according to the way we observe them. Ki Yuh Asher Nasal Lahem Atziros Asher Bahem Nasal Lahem Teva, because he gave them the form and the instinct and the order, the nature of he gave each one their nature in order that they should act in a certain way. The revolutions of the heavens and everything everything on this world where it works. The life, human life, instinctual life, everything. Zel Yisrael Chitas Moshe Olsham. This is the fundamental principle of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now it's like the Kivon She'achayim Arishim Adaitin Nimsa Achar HaHedah, since the substance was created ex nihilo of nothing, V'hutva Kefi She'hutva, and it was endowed with laws of nature according to the way it was, Harei Tochin Shiyadi Reo Hashem Hashem Tziyah Hashem Tziyah. It is possible that God should make it absent. Just like God created from nothing, it's possible that he could remove it. So that if he created a substance, and to the substance he gave certain laws, let's say he gave certain instincts, so he can remove the instinct from the substance, or he can remove the instinct and the substance, Or he can give the substance a different instinct. You see? Just like he did it in the first way. Why is that so? Because the reason why, all right, well, since you see, the Rambam in Marbuch says something interesting. This is an interesting point. So it is. He says that there is a Chazal that states, that Mate Moshe, that the Mayim, that the waters that split, Yamsil, and many other things, were nidru before 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 Benashmashes, on the last day of creation. What the Chazal mean by that? What the Chazal mean by
that? It
means that God did not, at the time of the Nisan, act in a way that intervened with the laws of nature. But rather, from the beginning of time, when God created the world, He created within the object a certain nature that under certain situations, different things will occur. Now, in Mitzrayim, when the waters became a pillar, within the nature of water, under certain conditions, it will, you can do it again today, if you know what that condition was. But we don't have that. But that condition was only right at one time in history. That's only by existence, right? But it wasn't a change.
So could we do it today?
If you know what it is, you can do it.
The circumstances are right.
Can we do it today? I don't know.
If we knew,
you'd be able to do it. If we knew, you'd be able to do it. I don't know. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is that this is what Chazal mean when they say everything was created before Shkiyas HaChama on the last day. The Mate Moshe. Mate Moshe, according to them, was really an animal which looked like a stick. It had the appearance of a stick, but it could be under certain situations. I don't know what the situation is, but it could eat. Different type of mechanism, the way it existed, the way it lived. And you see, animals can live for years without food, so there's different possibilities. So there's nothing impossible about God creating instead of something that looks like a stick that could also be alive. All these things were created according to them before Rabbein Hashmashes and Lestek. But the Rambam does not agree with this. He says, the Rambam holds that God really changed, the actual change in the time. And that these things were not before Shesh. But the laws of nature were implanted during Sheshit Nevarim, and then God temporarily suspended those laws. And why, of course, just like it's possible for God to, once you believe that God can create something from nothing, so obviously He can destroy it, and obviously He can change the nature of the thing. You understand? Within the realm of the possible, He can't make a square or circle, because that's impossible to do things. But He can change a substance which is usually cool, you can make it hot. You can give a substance which has a certain instinct to go towards the fire, to have the opposite instinct, to run towards the darkness. Within the realm of possibility, just like He created these things, He can change them. One second. Yes. I have a question. I know you're not sure about that, but I said, we can't go into every facet. I just want to give you a general idea. Let's try to understand. As long as what we're saying, we understand clearly. We're saying there is a realm of possibility. We don't know what the realm is in specific cases, in every single case. Because that depends on the knowledge of every single field and every single... You have to analyze, break down, in terms of physics and physiology, what the thing is. And what is possible, what's not possible.
So what would be an impossible case?
An impossible case.
You can't make one thing its opposite.
What about matter?
You can't make matter that does not occupy space.
Why?
A square circle, okay?
You can't make one thing its opposite.
What the realm of possibility is, we can sit here and argue with different points. It has nothing to do with this. This is a different argument. We'll break down each thing where it's possible, doesn't matter. That's not the important thing that he's trying to get at. The great area is interesting here, I agree. But we can't think of it some area. It's not what the matter could be without occupying space. You can't be without occupying space. Good thing to think about is it matter if it doesn't occupy space. By definition, we define matter without occupying space. Okay. It says there by the Tevah. It says that Bnei Sayu, that everything fits the Tevah. Bnei? Yeah. So obviously, what's the name? It means a what? It means what?
That it didn't occupy space for some time.
No, that can't be. It means that there was a reduction in size of the creature. That's all. Reduction in size. Okay. As a matter of fact, when something's traveling out of space, we know that it's reduced in proportion to the speed of the travel. Okay. Reduce the size. Yeah. Okay, now let's continue. So as I said, the realm of the possible, we spend hours going into what particular possibilities there are and there aren't. We have to go through physics, we have to go through window, and we have to go through the knowledge of each subject to know what's possible and not possible. The Rambam says that the way this opinion of Chazal that one suspended is also valid. But he says he gets the other way. Yeah, nothing can travel. No matter can travel at the speed of light. No matter can travel at the speed of light. Because matter, because it has to reduce to such a small size in order to travel at that speed. That's why it's impossible. Certain things are innately impossible because of the nature of the thing. You see, that would be a good example of an impossibility.
Why isn't making an animal out of dust and by definition, dust is dust and can't become alive.
No, that's not true. Because there is, you can, who says, just like when God created the animate from the inanimate initially, there was a transition. In fact, that's what the atheistic scientists are trying to find. The transition between the inanimate and the animate. Because there is a transition. And we believe there's a transition. The only thing is that they want to find it because they think that if they find that transition, that they're going to prove that God doesn't exist. Nonsense. That has nothing to do with it. Because when you find the questions, you keep on going back into regression. It doesn't help anything. But we do believe that there is a transition from the inanimate to the animate. There is a transition because the Torah says in Bereishis that God created man off from an Adama, which means from the inanimate to create the animate. So there's a transition, there's a way to go from the inanimate to the animate. That is the realm of possibility. Of course, it doesn't happen anymore, it doesn't occur anymore, because it was within God's plan that he should do it at a certain time, and that's it. But it doesn't mean that it's impossible to occur anymore. It's not impossible to occur anymore, you see? Why doesn't it occur anymore? For a simple reason. See, this is the point I want to explain to you. I don't even remember what he explains it later. The circle later. The Rambam says in the Maran Avochim, he says, in the Mitzrayim, God suspended the laws of nature, he says, and God can do this temporarily. And when you read that, you think, the Rambam's trying to answer. Like the Rambam's trying to, compromise. I mean, you can't do it permanently, because that's too much. You do it temporarily. There are no compromises in the Rambam. If he's compromised, the Rambam's not right. What do you mean to say this? He means like this. You see, there's a realm of possibility. There's a large realm of possibility. Now, within the realm of possibility, God chooses the possibility which is best. That's true. That we believe it. That's what Galen said. We really do accept that. That God chooses the realm which is best, which is most appropriate. The Rambam says, God doesn't know anything for nothing. However, there are two types of appropriate. There's an appropriate in general sense, like in general laws. It's appropriate for the animals to have certain instincts. Generally, it is best for the whole ecological balance that the animals should have these instincts, and everything works out. Me and Andreas first starting to see this area of knowledge about everything, the whole balance of nature. So now he's very ignorant in that area. Now he's trying to start on color. But this is something which God implanted in nature, and which every instinct and everything that's there, every one thing is tied to another. We can't just take one thing away without setting the whole balance. So this is in a general way that God created. However, it might be for a specific time, it might be more appropriate to change in that sense. For instance, the whole purpose of the Bria is that man should recognize God. So it might be necessary for God to change the nature of animals who reside in the jungle and have them come into the city, like in the giant. What about really changing the instincts of the animals? So there was a change in the instinct of the animal at the time. Now, generally speaking, for the benefit of the world at large, the instinct of the animal is better for the animals to reside in the jungle. See? Why precisely? I can't say. Well, but you understand what I mean. We know why these instincts are. However, in the Mitzrayim, it was best that they be suspended. Why? Because the whole purpose of this perfect world which was created, is so that man should reach God. Now, if man doesn't reach God, there's no purpose. Well, so therefore, it is rational that instinct should be changed temporarily in order to demonstrate to me that there is a God.
Now, let's say
that's been the laws of nature, though. So, in the laws of nature.
How is in the laws of nature?
The animals have instincts, and if they're suspended, the animals are still animals. You see,
you're making a mistake. You're using the wrong term. That's not called laws of nature. Laws of nature mean the laws the way we find them. That's laws of nature. The laws the way we find them now. Any breach in that is a breach in the laws of nature. They are the laws of impossibility. There's two things. There's the laws of nature and there's the laws of impossibility. One second. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for instance, we know that after the atom bomb, certain things change. Like, there's certain animals, different animals change their instincts. They lost their instincts. Like, the turtle just have an instinct to go to water, started traveling in the opposite direction. Those are affected by the x-rays. Now, you see, obviously, that there's a possibility there that the change should occur in the animal. But it's his detriment because he dies that way. You understand what I mean? So that's a change in the laws of nature. Change in the laws of nature. It's not, but that is possible. That is not good, because the reason why God created these laws is because of the whole scheme over there, the whole scheme. However, it might be beneficial for God to temporarily change it. Why? Because he might be dealing with a specific situation, so that needs a specific purpose. There's a general purpose and a specific purpose. In terms of the general purpose, it's best things be this way. But there might be a specific purpose that intervenes at a certain time. So then God will have to change it. Why will God have to change it? Because now it's rational that this should be changed. You understand? That's a change in the laws of nature. Then there's something else, a change in possibility. That which is impossible, making it possible. That we don't believe God does.
By saying that all the matters are done by the Shem and change in nature, right?
Change in nature, right.
I think there's a difference between changing instincts of the animals to make them leave the jungle and come into civilization,
and
changing dust into
Why?
I was there, I said, use the example of changing dust into
When God created man, did he create, did the inanimate precede the animate?
Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, there is a transition. There's a way to make the transition from a stone, from something which is inanimate to animate, right? There's a way that the transition is, right?
And there is some transition. You create it from nothingness to animate.
Exactly, precisely for the substance from which it came. Each thing is defined, the method. All right, doesn't tell us much. Ramban says we're gracious, we won't know much. But certain things we do know. So it was from the substance of water. There's some way to make the transition from this substance to a lifelike substance, from the inanimate to the animate. This is possible. So that's why you can create from ashes a horse. Or you can create a kid. Just like it was done once, it could be done again. This is not impossible. There is that transition, that link. We don't know what it is. But it's there. Just because we don't know what it is, it means it's not there. Right? So that's what the Ram said. There is a way to suspend water without a visible object. There's a way to do it. Might not know what it is, but there's a way to suspend water in one pillar and to have the pie keep on piling up, one on top of the other. But what do we know? If you don't know what it is, there's a way to do it. Okay? It's not impossible. However, God did not have that done automatically, because the whole world is destroyed. It is best that rivers flow normally. If they don't flow normally, then disasters would occur. However, at one time it was better the other way, that there should be a breach. Why? Because the whole purpose of the creation was that man should recognize God. So it was better at that time to make that breach. You see? But it's all based on rationality. It's all based on wisdom, on his wisdom, which seems fit. Whether to follow the general,
It can't be A and B
at the same time when they're two different essences. But A could be gone and be converted into B. That's something else. We're saying that the Afar is converted into B, not that it's Afar and B at the same time. That would be impossible.
So it would be impossible to make an Ash or an Ox, right?
Wouldn't be impossible.
An Ash or Ox?
An Ash can be converted into B.
No, no, at the same time. You can't be Ash or Ox.
That's impossible.
That's
what he means. from an animal.
Right, so that's possible.
That's possible.
It'll be one, but it's good
one,
one thing.
Yeah, right.
But it can't be.
But it can't be two things at the same time. That's impossible. It's logically impossible.
Why can't, first of all, you say it's the clearly laws of nature that,
that's the following of the laws of nature, so I tell kind.
Okay,
laws of nature means the way they are now.
How do you know that God can,
possibilities of nature and laws of nature too.
How do you know that God can make man out of that? You see, he did by free yourself, right?
Right.
So he's following a rule. He's following.
The problem, you don't understand. He's also following. You're going into the wrong area.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
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 But if you say, because in general, this is the best thing.
That's
no, but they said it changed the situation.
Yeah.
Would it?
Yeah.
They can cover it.
That's
what?
I could be building a building and something happens to me. That's my only little thing. I can control the smell. When you're building a guy, you control everything.
No, I'd say
something's going to happen now. What's going to happen? What's going to happen?
You
better
see what happened.
It would be necessary for God to do something else. Which would happen?
Well, what would cause that? Well, of course,
that's what we've been talking about. Well, of course, we're always saying the will of man, of course. See, only as far as man is concerned.
Well, I do change.
The action of man causes it. But it's only in a temporary way. But it's only to cure the situation at the moment.
That wasn't temporary, it was permanent.
Oh, even that was icy.
He was on the eye level.
Right.
That was a general law they changed.
The key is this, that if it's rational, then God will do it. But the only thing is that the reason why Ram says he wouldn't do it in a permanent way is not because God can't do it. But because the reason why
it's
no need to. That should be the other way. Right. See, really, the burden of proof is on the other field. Because why should we say that it's necessary for God to make everything in four shapes and make this? It could very well be done later. The question is really. The burden of proof, I think, is on the other.
The burden of proof is on this one.
Yeah.
No,
let's say I can account for the laws of nature.
I can account for it two ways. I can say there was no change. It just changed the situation. But if there was a change in the laws of nature, because Ron is making a bigger assumption. He's making a bigger assumption than they are. He's assuming that God created the God has extra power, and you're only assuming that he did an extra thing. So I mean, if you want to describe his extra attribute, then
see, there's no reason, according to the Rambam's view, the Rambam can understand like this. If you say that God, there's no reason really for God to stop changing the laws of nature after Shesh and Ibrahim. There's nothing more to do. That's all. Everything was created, everything was perfect. Now, when something occurs which demands a change, so then a change can occur. There's no reason for the change not to occur. There's no reason to assume. Why should we assume that it was all done before? And why?
Yeah.
You have to understand. The way that an action is done is the rational way to do an action is the way which presents the least obstacles. Not the way which presents the most obstacles. According to Chazal, you have to say, and also the two things at the time are necessary, not at the time are unnecessary. Now, since it wasn't necessary for the Yamsuk to be split until that time, there's no reason to give a permanent attribute to water, which under certain conditions will always split, and those people should be right only in the time. Now, so many different
people
When the nature of the answer, right? Okay, now God created the world. He also created time, right? And he knew that after a certain amount of time, there was going to be a need for the answers to split in a certain way, right? Now, he created the world, and he knew that was going to happen. Wouldn't there have been a lacking in creation if he hadn't also created the possibility in nature for this answer to be created? Because then he's saying,
Let's take a case where the animal instincts change, right? Let's take a case you understand. Now, is it necessary to create within an animal something that will be set off in the time of the triad? Of a permanent nature that will be set up in front of the lion and will cause them to run into the cities. Why is it necessary to do that? An animal should have to carry around all its life, every animal, probably so on, something which only has a purpose for one instant in the history of man and history of the world.
No, actually, the other way, warp.
All the Rambamos, the Vaisa, I know. Statements are one thing. God does not perform something for no reason at all. No reason at all. That's why the Rambam says, the big argument, the Rambam and the Ramban, about Olam Haba. The Rambam says Olam Haba will never be on this world. Why? Because the Rambam says, since man in his perfect state does not require a goof, so the having of the goof is absurd. There's no need for the goof. Right? Similarly, there's no need for every animal, since Bias Olam, to carry with it something which could be set off only at the time of Mitzrayim, and which is part of its instinct to make it run into the cities. You understand? There's no need for this. There's no need. All God has to do is change the animal's nature instantaneously at the time of creation. But I'll tell you, if you want to say it the other way, the Rambam says it's possible to assume both ways. But this way is equally possible. All the ages to know is possibility. It's equally possible for God to do this, it is possible.
Sorry,
yeah. That's essentially what he's interested in. He's interested in the possibility. What God does within the same possibility, which possibility is a better one, that is a question. The Rambam has one way, and he quotes the Chazal to the other way, since both views are good, but both views are possible. But the important thing you want to say is that everybody agrees, Chazal agrees, and the Rambam agrees, that it is possible for God to change the laws of nature just as he created them. This necessarily follows from the premise that he creates them, that he can change them. Just like he created a fish and he gave it the instinct to eat, he can give a fish the instinct to starve itself. He can do that. The possibility is there. Yes.
Let's say we can explain the result by one action or a result by two actions.
So?
I know.
So what are you going to say?
That argument
is not pertinent to this area. It's pertinent to the area. I mean, really, it's not pertinent to the area. You're going to sit and argue whether it's better for God to make it You sit on a girl that's better for God. Which way is more expedient? You're arguing which way is more expedient, okay? Therefore, everything that in regard to the laws of nature, in regard to the laws of Genesis and destruction, the differences that can occur, different situations, different ways that things can come into being and be destroyed, are all possible according to Moshe Rabbeinu. It comes from the class of the possible, and we can ascribe these things to God, and it is possible to say the will of God is expressed in that area. Remember, when we say the will of God, don't have any ideas of a person's will. It's a word. It's just nothing more than a word. The will of God means that it's something in God affects the change, but we can't. The word will is really a big word. V'mius Hashem Yisaleh Kiyum Olam Hazeh Kifishu Adol Adolim. And if God wants that this world should remain, here's what you mentioned, Benny. God wants that this world should remain forever and ever according to the way it is. V'lo Me'alam Me'kaimo. You can keep it going the way it is forever and ever. God wants that you go this way, you can go this way. V'mius Lahadi Atikori. I mean, the world will keep on going.
Don't we have to say that the world
can
come to
an end? No, we don't have to say that.
According to the truth of God,
yeah.
We have to say that the world can come to an end. Because it's like
force, it
has to be greater than the
effect,
right?
So, yeah, but God could always create new substance to
keep
it going.
But there has to be new...
After a change. If you say when the sun goes up, the energy of the sun is finally dispersed, you have to be aware of getting it back in there, right? You're right. Yeah, that's the other means. But just like you did the first time, you do the second time. For instance, according to the laws of physics, when you burn a stick of wood, nothing is lost. Everything, all the molecules, all the energy is simply diverted into a different form. If you can theoretically be able to get everything back and make it into a log again, make it into a complete log again, theoretically you can do it. The only thing is practically you can't do it. Every sound, every voice, it would be possible to take it back and to have it reproduced. To locate it and have it reproduced again, but it's dispersed in the atmosphere. Now, God can retrieve everything which is dispersed, just like He created. He can retrieve everything which is dispersed. Human being can't do it, we've got to do it. That's the realm of the possible. It's the realm of the fantastic, but it's the realm of the possible. Remember, fantastic is non-existent, because fantastic is just the way it strikes us emotionally. That's not a logical term, so that term doesn't exist. It's only the possible and the impossible. You see? The possible and the impossible.
According to this, there can be no proof that there was no beginning to the universe.
If he wants to destroy everything, nothing should remain, no matter, no substance, no energy, no nothing, should remain besides himself, he can do this. He's going to do it. If he wants to make one change, keep one part the same, another part change. All the miracles are from this category. The category where he wants in the kind kafitivo the chol chalokov in general, but the yeshana havaya misuyemes, a very specific occurrence he wants to change. The whole nisim in asuga zayin, and all these nisim are found in this category. The same word misuyim, the same word tani is in favor. He says, the seeing the missile in the triumph was a proof. The mess is a proof of what?
The what?
What is proof? Now, what is the...
Jiddish
Holland. Jiddish Holland. Conversely, in other words, I guess. This is what the man, now he's going step by step. You have to follow him carefully. He moves along step by step. First he says like this. First he says, since God created us, what are we saying? Since God created us, so then he could change it. Now he says, and since he changed it, what do we see? Conversely, that he created it. Okay? That he created it.
Why?
Because if he wouldn't have created it, he couldn't have changed it. Listen to what? Okay? And he explains it. Kavanasi Khan, the verse watches this Rambam, he really explains himself. Kavanasi Khan, Ba'omri Neis Mashayesh Bahavayaso, Shaleh Kiderach Teva Havaya, and the Regis Tamid, Ba'ushne Sugin. Oshi Yitzhava Adova Asher Darka Lesavos Kifi Dirugin Nisuyomim Ubamatsovim Nisuyomim Tamid, שלא כדרך המצבים הרגילים, אלא יהפך תבס אחס כתיחס ומת הנפש והאוף הכינים והמים דם ועבר אש והיד הנכבד הכדר של לבנו and Moshe Ben is hand white, no והאור הכל זה בועס אחס. He says, one type, the two categories of mess. One type of category is that a thing which can occur usually through a distance, through a long, lengthy process, should occur simultaneously, should occur instantaneously. Like, for instance, the healing from the offer. It is possible, but that it should occur instantaneously. He says, the two categories of next. One type of category is that a thing which can occur usually through a distance, through a long, lengthy process, should occur simultaneously, should occur instantaneously. Like, for instance, the healing from the offer. It is possible, but that it should occur instantaneously, like God, it's possible to happen, to see happening in Yisrael, but generally it doesn't happen. However, here, God does it. One second. And also, the whole cause of Vasachas. This was instantaneous. Oshi Yischadesh Ma She'im B'Teva Metzias Hazu HaYatziva She'yeheba Kamo Osa HaMechudish Klal Kigon HaMon HaShehor B'Kushi Ad Kidei She'nitchan Z'ofu M'menu Lechem V'imcham Alav HaShemesh Nomos V'Nigar V'Kol She'or Ma She'bir Atar B'mon Min HaNisim Kol Ela V'Adom V'Nisug HaFshari Kiven She'or L'Mosu M'Tzi'isei He said, one thing is like this. One thing is that a thing which exists is changed in relationship to how it is created. That's one type of notion. Like human. Like Dom. The word is converted to Dom. Or like Moshe in his hand turns white. So these things which exist in the world, they exist. The existence itself was not enough. But the existence of something which is found in nature. You see? However, the way it's brought about, the way it comes into being in nature, is a different process than occurred in Mitzrayim. That's one kind of nature. But another kind of nature is to create something new, which does not exist in nature, is not found in nature. Like the mon. Mon is something which totally is not found in nature. It's a new entity. It has qualities which to us seem difficult to comprehend, that are both to occur inside it. It was ground, it says, Tochana, they grounded for the Chayim, so these are the hard substance. You had to ground it down to flour, right? Then they had, then it says, V'chama Shemesh V'nomos. Apparently when the sun, the light of the sun did something to it, caused it to melt. So there's a substance which had different properties, but we don't find those properties coexisting today, but it's possible. It's possible, but it's possible to have a substance which is affected by the sun in such a way that it melts, and when the sun's not there, it's a hard substance. But this substance we do not find in nature. It's an unnatural substance which God created, God produced, like the mind. The other type of miracle is a miracle in which the essence of the thing is the same, is found in nature, but the way it's brought about is changed. Those are the missing in the trial. That's what runs with these two questions. Now, he says, this is all possible. That's what Mitzrayim demonstrated. So what did Mitzrayim demonstrate according to the Rambam? The Nisan and Mitzrayim, what did Mitzrayim demonstrate? One thing. Yiddish Shalom. Avol, he says, however, Kitsi Ashkafas Misha Sover Kadmasol, the one that believes in the eternity of the universe. Harei Kol Eila, all these things, Shehin Efshorim Etzlenu, that they are possibilities for us, the possibilities. Etzle Etzlenu, Hem Lodai Tor Nimnoim. For them, they're impossibilities. Why? Ki Asover Esachiyuv, one who holds the of necessity, Omer, Sha'olam Azeh Beklaluso Hu Oseir. Klomar, Hu Sibas Mitzi Uso. If you're careful to listen to it. Va'olam Azeh Ketishi Hu Neschayev Ne Mitzius Haber Kechiev Ha'olo Le'ila She'in Abodo Minenu Klal. Klomar, Kechiev Ha'yom Re'aliyas Hashemesh Yochiev Ha'tzor Min Ha'omer Zechor Adon Al-Azeh. Yeah, what does it mean? I'll say it again. Ki Asover Asachiyot, Omer. Asover Asachiyot. Achiyot means what necessarily results. Sha'olam Hazeh Biklaluso, in its entirety, Hu Oseyu. It is done. Makes itself. Kloma, Hu Sibus Mitziyusa. Va'olam Hazeh Kisishu Nishayev Mitziyus Habore Kichiyot Ha'olo Le'ila. Ain't a bodo in there. It's like the cause and the effect, which isn't separated from itself. Klal, kloma, kechiyav hayom me'aliyas hashemesh. There are certain causes and effect, two types of cause and effect. One type of cause and effect is where the cause can be removed and the effect remains. Like you build a house, you remove the cause, the effect remains. Another kind of cause. There's a cause which must constantly be there. Like the day is resultant from the sun. See? In order to have daytime, you must constantly have the cause. You see, or in order to have shade, you must always have something standing in the way. Kechiyav hayom me'aliyas hashemesh, alchiyav hatzel min ha'omei. The shade results from the thing standing there. You see, it's a result. What does it mean? It means it's a result of the existence of the thing. The very existence of the thing causes the shade. What causes the shade? When you have a wall, when the sun is shining, the sun hits the wall, so it's the existence of the wall that creates the shade. It's not something the wall did, it's an action of the... If it's an action of a human being, you take away the human being, the house stands, because it's his action. However, this is very careful what we mean. However, if it's because of the essence of the thing, then it's the... Let me give you an example. Carbon dioxide, insofar as man is concerned. See, it's a result of man, right? But it's a result of his carbon dioxide? No, it's a result of his existence, because the only way to exist is through breathing. In other words, if man exists, he has to breathe. There's something that exists, he has to breathe, right? Yeah. Okay. If you give me that much, he exists, he has to breathe, then carbon dioxide must be there by the nature, because of his existence, as a natural result of his existence.
It's a byproduct.
Right. It means a natural result of his existence, the way he exists, right? And because of his existence, this has to happen. Yeah, it's not a gentleman. If a man exists in this room, so the space in this room is limited. See? Cause and effect. Because he exists, so the space is limited. Because of his existence, not because of his action. See? Now, what's the wrong thing? Okay, and that's one thing. Why is it if I hold the eternity of the universe, I hold the eternity of the universe, that I must hold that the laws of nature cannot be changed? And the whole Mitzrayim was to demonstrate one thing. All to demonstrate? Chiddush Olam. That's the wrong word. Chiddush Olam. Why is it that? What does he mean? What does he mean? What do you think? Why is it so that if I maintain Kadmus Ha'olam, if I maintain the eternity of the universe, what do I hold? That the laws of nature cannot be changed. What does it mean? What does it mean? You have to understand what he means. If you go one step beneath the surface. It's a result of God's essence. You follow? Since it's a necessary result of God's essence, it had to be eternal. Why did it have to be eternal?
God's essence.
Exactly. That's the crux of the argument. That's why there's so much discussion about the eternity universe.
Sit around the thing of it. See?
If you're not responsible, who came first? It's like most people understand the eternity universe like in a very childish way. Who came first? God came first or this came first? Oh, no, he had to come first. In some point. That's only a description of the argument. The real question is, the universe. Why is the universe the way it is? According to them, it's necessary, and you'll find out why the argument. If you're interested in why the arguments, what the arguments ought to base this assumption that it's necessary, after you find the Mordechai Rucham brief on the argument. There are a lot of arguments for it, and the Rambam shows what the arguments are for it, and he shows the arguments against it. He shows the problem, and he shows the solution in terms of the argument, what we are. However, you see, this is the argument. The argument is one thing. Is the world this way of necessity? What does it mean as necessity? There's only one real necessity when you go back. What's the one? God! So it must mean, if you say it's this way of necessity, it means the what? It's due to the nature of God that the world is this way. Now, if that's so, the nature of God is eternal, right? So the universe ought to be eternal, you see? However, we, those who believe in Teres Mesha, we say one thing. What do we say? God's existence, or is it a result of God's action? If you say it's a result of God's existence, then what happens?
In other words,
then as long as he existed, the world had to exist. You understand that? Because he's eternal. You see? He's eternal. They don't stand, come along and pass it and say the world is eternal. What? They want to say matter is eternal. They want to say matter is eternal. No! Because they say that if you go into their argument to show if they use which they use to show that the world must necessarily be this way. The result of God's essence. If it's the result of God's essence, then what happens? Has to be eternal. So he holds no. Yah just maintains not so. Yah just maintains that the world is a result of an action of God, not a result of his essence. And if you maintain it's a result of an action, so then change is possible. Now you see why the mystery of the Quran is so important? What does the mystery of the Quran demonstrate? What does it demonstrate? It's part of it. What does the mystery of the Quran demonstrate? Action. So the world is part of action, not a part of the
world.
How do you prove? What do you mean prove?
The other way is found out that...
There are arguments. The Rambam in the mind of Rucham goes into this area. So we're not going to go into the area. I just want you to understand what the basic area is about. But the Rambam in the mind of Rucham shows the arguments which are in favor. He says there is no proof. There is no proof in the world. He shows the arguments in favor, and he shows the arguments against, and he shows Nevuas Moshe how we believe, what our proofs are, and what we believe. He says both logically, he says many cannot prove either way. But he shows what the arguments are, pro and con. That's the whole, that's one of the big things in Mordechai Rucham. That's one of the several days in Mordechai Rucham. That's the big, important thing over there. But I'd advise you not to really, not to think you can look at it, but I'd advise you to really question it, really have to think you understand it, if you don't really know the preliminaries of philosophy, which are very important for that area. But all he's doing here is, and I think this everybody could understand, everybody could know, to understand what the basic argument is about. What the basic problem is in the eternal universe. The specific arguments, pro and con, are much more difficult to master. And I don't think we can master at our level. But this, we can understand what the basic... What do you say there, Beth? You should understand what it's all about. You know what the idea is? Yes?
Let's go to the last step.
Okay. You see, the thing is this. There are like two types of questions. The best example I give is like a human being. A thing exists, carbon dioxide exists in this room because we exist. That's one thing. But the table exists because somebody built the table. But there are two different types of cause and effect. One results from my essence, the other one results from my action. An action. Has to exist more if you exist, from your essence. How do you physical essence of you? What? The shade. The shade. I'll give you the shade. The shade exists because the thing exists, because it blocks the thing. If you take away the existence of the thing, then the shade is taken away.
So,
if you come in,
you're gone.
So?
So, how's that
quantum? So, that's what exists because you exist, right? If you exist, will it exist? Well, what's the difference? Well, it's not if you exist, if that's exist, right? Okay. So therefore, it's caused by your existence, right? Isn't it caused by your existence? Your body expels the carbon dioxide, it's caused by your existence, right? Okay. So this is caused by your existence, right? But it's not caused by your existence in the same way that a carbon is caused by your existence. It's in a different way. What's a different way? In one case, it's an action that you do, in the other case, it's part of your essence, part of your existence. Right? All right, this is the argument. This is the argument. All those things which are possible for us are for him impossible. Is caused by the mitzius, by the existence of God. It is caused by the existence of God, mitzius, by his essence. Mitzius means yes. Mitzius ha'olo le'ila, like the necessary result from a cause. She'ena bodo mimena klala, it's never separated from it, it's always there. Kloma kechiyav hayom me'aliyas ha'shemesh, like the day exists because of the sun. O chiyav ha'tzeo mina omeid, or the necessary shadow from something which blocks the light. V'chol adam alakach, that type of causality. V'ine bal ha'ashkof ha'azuom, the one who holds of that, he says, ki ha'tznua b'lti hova v'lo mesedet, that motion, the motions of the planets, will never start and never cease. They can never start or cease. They're always that way. Well, if you got Hashemayim, the Dato Kiduma, all the heavens are eternal. Aristotle, all the heavens are eternal. Vachom, our Rishon, today we should see it's not that. But he thought there was a quintessence. Didn't have to stop. Not sure. Vachom, our Rishon, built the whole of the long Esad. And the first substance is, was not created, nor can it be destroyed, which means it's a basic substance which can never be changed. ולא חודו ולא יחדל עולם, כך כפי הטבע הזה. וכל שהוא הפך טבע ההוויה והפסד הללו הוא נמנה לדייתו. Anything which is opposite this is impossible. Why is it impossible? Just like it's impossible to say that God should not exist, because his existence is necessary, he doesn't have existence like we have. It's impossible to say that anything that exists should change. Why? Because it all stems from God's essence. So everything becomes eternal. That's right. And the essence doesn't change, and therefore nothing changes, which results in it. See, that's the idea. You see it? The whole unbelievable, The Lord is found in massive me, not so very on the fear for a yielding by tectonic fishing. Nothing will ever change according to that. The caution to work in this is rather much. God never changes, and God never has any choice. He never does an action. There's nothing in which, there's no possibility in which he should put his will into it, which means like this. Which means that he can't say the rain will never, he cannot prevent the rain from falling on one day, nor can he cause the rain to fall on another day. Why? He read a suggestion because the going down and falling of the rain in its inherent nature, which is inherent true nature, holy this avos ha'adim ha'avi ha'gol in ourselves, ha'amonos, is dependent upon the different situation of the atmospheric conditions. The cause of power, the Eter HaChomesh, Ein HaShem, Pul HaBal. And it's all dependent upon the way the world is, the substance of the world, and in which God does not have any action. Koma. Ka'oshin kasha b'chom ein yochel akilo, roshin nimna ba'al yochel yochel ha'ansiyo, yechom ala mishava, ala kachi mitzimisa, kiyuvah zlo, lebele, dole, and all melon. So therefore, it says, according to that view, that everything is a result of God's essence, you understand? So nothing is capable of change. Yes, now what do we know?
So according to him, God doesn't know
anything. No, he exists, does he?
No,
he exists. No, there's another about him. It's not a greater, it's a lower power. It's not a greater power. It's like the carbon dioxide from the person. Doesn't mean it coexists with you, but you are in a higher feminine thing. The thing is matter. You are in a higher feminine thing. Because you are an intellectual being, but the thing also has to coexist with you.
Right.
It's one step away from pantheism. Because pantheism goes one step further. What's pantheism goes? Pantheism never taken a philosophy, does it? No, alright. Pantheism knows that the whole thing is part of it. So he has it, he has it separate, like the sun is separate from the day. But the day must exist because of the sun. Pantheism wants to say that the day itself is part of the sun, which means that the whole universe is part of God. That's all one. It tries to unify both. Yeah, part of the same. That's complete. Yeah, this maintains two steps away from that. Now, first of all, one, that it's separate, that God is separate. And secondly, that it's not a necessary left and left. As I thought, I think he goes back now to Galen with this, and you see the analysis, the way he applies it to Galen's statement. Take it from there. Okay, then. See, according to us, we say that God existed without anything else. God is the only eternal existence. Then, due to his action, something else came into being. That's the universe. According to Aristotle, there was always, the universe was always there. So if the universe always exists, then why does he call God the primal Lord? And there's no primal Lord altogether, if that's the case.
Hmm.
So what's the answer? Why does he call God the primal Lord?
Because still his existence is... It causes these things to move.
That's right. The universe is by the essence of God. He doesn't mean the prime mover. We mean the prime mover, that he preceded everything else. According to Aristotle, why does he mean the prime mover? He's a different kind of prime mover. Why is he the prime mover? Really, the universe is never within.
Is God necessary for the existence of the
universe? Because in causality, there are two things. One is God, and the other thing is extraneous to God. But this other thing that exists by in virtue of God's existence. So that's why God is considered the prime mover. Do you understand what I mean? It's not the other way around. In other words, this. The shade exists because of the wall. The wall doesn't exist because of the shade. So which is the prime mover? The wall. You see? That's what Aristotle means when he calls God the prime mover. It's a totally different concept. It's a totally different idea. It's not the same idea that we have. See? His idea is, it's like the wall, the best example is the one around here, the wall and the shade. That there are two things. The shade is extraneous to the wall. Right? Shade is extraneous to the wall. Okay. Now, since the shade is dependent upon the wall, they both coexist. They both coexist. But the shade is dependent upon the wall, not the wall and the shade. You see? So therefore, which one's called the prime mover? The wall. In that same manner, Aristotle says that God is called the prime mover. But we say God is the prime mover in a different way. What is our way? That God's action created the universe. It didn't always go this way. But the action of God brought the universe into being. He was the one that brought the universe into being. According to Aristotle, he didn't bring the universe into being. But the universe is merely a necessary result of his existence.
That's the basic difference. The action of God really is only the will of God. The will of God is the will. And he wills it as a good.
The will means, when you say the will of God, it's something part of God that's not part of it.
Right.
God is, you call it will. There's only one thing there, but we break up. The only way we can understand is by...
It's all just sort of a description of the knowledge.
Right.
Okay. So then,
But still, I mean, what is it? What is it with this by EDR right here?
No problem.
It seems that, you know, I don't even know where I heard this, but it seems to say that it's just that God willed it, and it was, right? Right. I mean, it's not that God took any action.
You see, you can't use the word action in relation to God. That's action.
Right. It's God's will. And it's a result of God's will.
A result? Yeah, right.
Okay.
But the point is this. The only way to clearly differentiate is between this. Does God exist without that thing or not? You see, that's really the only way to use action in relation to God.
Well, yeah, but if we say that when we mean action, we really mean God's will. I mean, you brought the word action.
Right.
So if we really say that when we mean God's action, we mean God's will, and that God cannot exist except by his will, it's just a description of knowledge.
And the action, if we're using the metaphor for man, the action is the result of
the action is in God, the action is the will. Because
the
action is
the result,
which is the immediate cause. Right. And we can't say it was in the essence of God. No. Because God doesn't care.
Oh, well, that's the problem. You see, that's the
problem.
No, 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 that's the problem. That's the problem with your fellows in my world. That is the biggest problem. The problem is, once we say that there is a change, in other words, how could God question it like the Ram says? I mean, this is the Torah. The Nasatik Yishmechem B'Iton, the whole concept. What's the word? The Torah constantly repeating again and again. The Nasnaris Yifullah and all this. It's all one concept. What's the concept? Concept is Tidak Shalom. Tidak Shalom, the world was created. And therefore, God can produce the rain at a certain time and can cause it to cease at a certain time. You see? That's the whole concept, the basis of the whole concept of the Torah. Now, the question is a philosophical question. What happens within God when he does an action? Because how does he change? How can he, who is unchangeable, change in order to cause a result? You see, that is a philosophical question. That's the Rambam deals with the model. That's one of the problems which the Rambam answers in explaining our theory of the universe, the way we enter, the way we, our knowledge of God. You see? That's one of the problems that they try to avoid by positing the eternity of the universe. That's one of the problems they try to avoid. That's a good point. That's a basic point. That's mentioned right in the middle. Second Chelek, okay, second Chelek Marlow. Chapter 14, 15, from there on, 15, 16, 20. So that's one of the big arguments in favor of the eternity of the universe. That happened to be a change in God. Let's say this is, and that's the point. That's why they posited it. That's why they want to maintain it. Correct. The question is,
how do we know?
Okay. As I mentioned, the answer, I don't want to do with the basic concept. Because now you can see what the difference is between those who hold that the world is the eternal universe and those, what the necessary results are from the principle that those who hold the eternal universe and those who don't hold the eternal universe. Absolutely. Now it goes back to the analysis of the case. Again. Vizah Galinus. Amavi Lapesi Asahal. The row of Mashim and Daberbo, Michutz, Lumitzarapua, and this Galen, the fool who is, he speaks foolishly about every other thing besides medicine, all Mabathir has come up on him. He mentions in his writings many times, Shuba Supik, the Ikarazet, Shuchir Shoba, and he himself is in doubt about this principle. Galen himself was in doubt whether to accept the eternal universe or accept the creation ex nihilo. The Eino Yodea Inu Kodim Amachurish. And doesn't know whether the world is eternal or not eternal. I don't understand. How could a man be in doubt about this basic principle? The Kovah Kolamor of Khan, and of the year when he speaks, so he's basing it upon Bedabro, a sour reason of like being in Kafiso, Katasolam. Over here he's saying that when he talks about the hair of the eyebrows and the hair of the eyelids, he is basing it on which premise? On which premise is he basing it on? On which premise? He's basing it on the premise of Katasolam, on the eternity of the universe.
How's that?
Right? Let's see. Ulufika Homer, Shekoshi, Ukoshi, Bahomer, Ubi, Achari. The aim of the Tyrus of Shem, Beacholis, Olo, Bafil, Yisus, Elif, Alfe, Pomin. So So it's a synthesis that God can't change anything. But God can't change the hair. And the hair has to have this underlying hard skin. Otherwise, God does not have the ability to change the nature of the hair. Right? So that means that God can't change anything. But these things, these laws are immutable and always are a result of God's essence. So therefore, he also, which theory is all from? The eternity of the universe. He says, but since he says, and Galen himself is in doubt as to whether or not. Galen himself is in doubt whether it's eternal order or it isn't. He says, since he doesn't know about the eternal universe, doesn't know, right? So therefore, he should be in doubt as to whether the horse can be created from ashes. Why? Because if he holds which way? That the universe is eternal, so what does it mean? So it means that there was never any creation. It means everything was always immutable. Right? Okay. So therefore, he should be held impossible for the horse to be created out of the ashes, right? However, if he holds the other one, if he holds that God did create, so what would it mean if he holds God to create?
Your eyelash is gone to the
So then the...
There's the eyelash. So God could be able to create the horse out of dust.
Right. God created, and God can...
create the eyelash.
And therefore he can change the properties of the eyelashes.
Yeah.
And afterwards, the way he wants it. Since he's the one that gives it those rules. Right? It's possible for him to do it. See, the Rambam says he doesn't do it that way. But he doesn't remove the possibility. But Galen, once Galen says that he doesn't know whether Kadmus is Olam or not, it's not going to go either way. If he holds Kadmus is Olam, you see, so if he holds Kadmus is Olam, fine. Then he says it's impossible for God to make any changes, right? And it's impossible for God to make the horse out of ashes. But if he holds the other way, right? So then, it is all these things are possible. And he himself says he's in doubt as to the basic principle. So since he's in doubt as to the basic principle, he should also be in doubt as to the result. No. But when it comes to the basic principle, what is he? He's in doubt. When it comes to the result, he's positive. You see, this is impossible. I've been wrong with it. So the Rufika Chayyad Gamliyot Mustafa came out by the Susman from the Sachas of Shari. He says, since he's in doubt about the eternal universe, so he should have also been in doubt about whether a horse can be created from ashes or not. He says, or is it impossible? He says, but this which he is in doubt about the fundamental principle, but he is decisive. In the result, this shows his ignorance in terms of understanding the results, in terms of relating results to causes, to the causal principle. All right, now please. V'chein amro sheyesh min advarim dvarim shein ba'atzman dufti yasharim lefnei Hashem. V'yashvara v'chad nesachom. V'yoseh tnua b'dvarim amro, v'fi sheyoda v'shilyas. Also, which he says, when he says there are certain things that are impossible before God, this impossibility is something that isn't an innate impossibility. What that impossibility is? It means an impossibility because based upon the fact of the eternity of the universe. It's not innately impossible for us to be created from nature. It means that these things don't happen. It's not within the world of nature. So what that impossibility is? It's an impossibility based upon the positing of the eternity of the universe. It's not an innate impossibility, like saying a triangle can't be a circle. That's an innate impossibility. But this type of impossibility that Galen refers to is not an impossibility. Because we don't know. Maybe it could be that way. He means that since there is no such thing and the laws of nature are fixed, it's impossible to change those laws. Now this impossibility is based upon the theory of what? The eternity of the universe. It's not an innate impossibility. There's two types of impossibility. So there's the Chain Umr, Shein Batum Dulti Asharim Neshem. When he says that there are impossibilities before God, he has far Bakat Sahama. This type of possibility that he means is based upon Kadmus HaChomer, the eternity of the universe. It's not an innate impossibility. The Yosef Tzmul B'dvarov, and even more astounding, Omro L'fishyeda Hashem Kisar Gimna Yosef Tovlo Shelo Ya'arek. He says God knows that the hair is best for the hair, not to do wrong. V'omro Shein Hashem Rosh Hashiyekim V'varim Afsharim. It says God only wills those things which are possible. And from the possible, we won't take those things which are best. Niyeti v'yadati ha'yidiyazu. V'arotam v'abachir shem matar v'anat Hashem v'taito. V'shiyesh v'mtsiyas d'var m'afsharim v'fner Hashem. Al eizem v'shnei yisod as bon and vora. Ava eila. U'pasa katidlo. V'yashkam v'skad m'sholom v'yashkam v'sir shalom. V'yashkam. He says that God, over here he says that God takes only the good possibility. The good possibility. Now he says, what does he mean? If you hold of the eternity of the universe, you can't say God takes the good possibility. Why can't you say God takes the good possibility?
The result of his...
Yes, the result of his essence. He's not doing it. There's no change. There's no action on the part of God that ever did anything. It's the result of his essence. So how could he say, you understand, how could he say that God only takes the good possibility? When you say God takes the good possibility, it means that there is a time when God actually does an action and makes a change, right? Oh, but if you say, if you open the center of the universe, what are you saying? You're saying it's a natural result. Everything's a natural result of God, right? So there never is a time when God takes something and actually changes it or does anything. So therefore he bases... In other words, I guess, what he's saying is innately contradictory. Why? Because he says like this. He says it's impossible for God to cause change. Now, what type of change is possible? Why is it impossible? Because it's against the laws of nature. The laws of nature are based upon what? The eternity of the universe. He can't make these changes, right? But simultaneously, he says God makes changes in accordance with his wisdom, which means that God does do changes. But if he posits the eternity of the universe,
how can he change it?
He can't do any changes. So the whole thing is ridiculous. He is self-contradictory. Because on the one hand, he says, God can't make, it's impossible for God to do these things. Why is it impossible? Because the laws of nature fix. Nothing ever changes. Which means it went all the way back to the eternity of God. God's eternal, always things are all eternal. Then he says that God comes along and he does, and he makes these changes in accordance with wisdom. But it's impossible. There never was a time when God comes along and makes these changes if you hold the eternity of the universe. So if you say that it's impossible, once you say that laws of nature, change laws of nature are impossible, what are you basing it on? The eternity of the universe, right? Oh, so then you can't say in the same breath that God does things, this doesn't need to be.
So why couldn't he be holding, let's say, by the other view of, let's say, the common whole life, let's say that, so these changes were made from the universe from the beginning.
But they hold the eternity of God.
Yeah, no, he does hold the eternity.
Oh, but then it's not possible anymore. It's impossible. They don't say it's impossible.
Well, he says it's impossible. Why? Because the structure of the universe is there from the beginning and everything that happens. So, why can he...
They hold that it's the way God did it. But they don't hold it's impossible. They hold that God set everything up, Shesh Mebresh, and if Shesh Mebresh doesn't change. But they don't hold it's impossible, they hold that it's absurd. Because one said that he created it, so certainly he can change it. If you give a dog a certain instinct, you can give another instinct. I mean, if you give a dog, you have to do a lion, or a whole possibility. But far beyond the law, he was the idea of the Kandas Olam. So I already explained to you that according to the theory of the eternity of the universe, there's no will and there's no choice before God. It means that there's no time that God does anything. There's nothing that God can ever create or ever do. Why? Because everything is a result of his essence, which is eternal, and nothing has ever changed.
You mean bounding forth?
No, it never is done. It's just a result of his essence. But when you talk Hashem of the Dvar of Elah, Elah Kfiyas Kapit Chidush Olam. The only way to interpret what Galen says over here about God doing something which is intelligent, in other words, God doing the, creating the air in a certain way, he says, this can only be understood if you believe in creation ex nihilo. You see? His bonding law. Think into it. He says, Heyachum ma'arve b'dvorah v'varma mitzvayden min asvara b'chidish olam. Take a look at how he intermingles, he mixes into his words, things which necessarily result from the theory of the creation of the universe, in Dvarma Mishaiden Min Asvar V'Kadmasolam, together with things which result from the theory of the eternity of the universe. V'choshev Esakol Svar Achas, and he thinks of the whole thing as one Svar, Vashkof Achas, and one view. V'gadim Olam Kodem Olam Chudish Yesh Bosof, V'Kufitaito. And then he's in doubt about this very principle. So in other words, what he does is he sets up a theory, he gives statements, alien statements, which are self-contradictory. Part of them are based upon the eternal universe, part of them are based upon the non-eternal universe, right? And then he himself says that he's bad about the eternal universe, yet he's positive about these things, which are based on the two mutually exclusive propositions. You see? He says, "V'chol ma'ashem ha'dvar me'lo ha'bogim bolim, hu boru ha'pashit l'daito." And for all these things, and then the Ram says, and not only that, but he goes so far to say, all these confused ideas which Galen has over here, he says, according to Galen, it's not if a guy says something confusing, it's one thing. But if a guy says something which is totally confusing and contradictory, and he says it's clear, that's bad. He says, who borrowed a possible data? According to Galen, this is all clear and simple. He says, this is the best way to think. He says, before I finish the Barney, and he's excited about it. The Zenor of the Bureau of the Chluso, the Yisodei Masha, deeper Bible Tavlos. This shows clearly his foolishness in this area. The Choser is Bonin of Masha Omer, and the lack of thinking of what he says. See? The Zu Oysa Matar Sainu Peritelius. You have to understand why the Ram is the great example. It's nice, it's enjoyable to see everybody will step. But you have to understand that at that time, people accepted authority to a much greater degree than they do today. See, the Rambam did not. And the Rambam was the only one, where one of very few individuals who did not.
People accepted authority more than?
Yeah, accepted. Like, they believed in, like, they thought, like, they built up certain idols of certain people. Like Aristotle, like the Rambam says in the Shemona Parashah, this paragraph, right?
Wouldn't you say the people are less questioning now than then? Wouldn't you say the people are less? Yeah.
Less
questioning.
Understand why it's so. Because most people are affected not by logic, not by reason, but most people are affected by the immediate environment. Yeah, you see, like a guy like Aristotle, a person like Aristotle was believed for the thousands, hundreds of years. Oh, can't question that. Most. So today, they make progress in the technological sciences, so they keep on outgrowing their authority. So therefore, the opposite, nobody bothers. The Rambam wasn't affected either way by either of them. Rambam would accept the question. Galen lives 2,000 years before the Rambam. See, Rambam didn't care. He said, well, let's investigate what the man wrote. If it's illogical, it makes sense, and medicine seems right, then we'll accept it. Other areas we see is not right, we don't accept it at all. Give him credit where we deserve. See, but the average person cannot think that way, and he's usually bound to the way the society feels in general. Society depends upon a lot of different things with respect to emotions, you know? So in those days, the emotions were to worship Aristotle and Galen. So therefore, the Rambam had a difficult time arguing against these figures. See, whereas today, it's just the opposite. Nobody accepts anybody. Naturally. And I can't say anything but the other emotions that is important. But the Rambam shows you that you should use either emotion. You should get to use rationality. Where guys are fine, And this was our objective in this paragraph, not more. Because I didn't write this in order to answer, in order to dispute, to refute the eternity of the universe. That's not the purpose of this writing. Notice it says that. Because you have to, I told you, the philosophy, you have to know what his objective is, not to get involved in such a point. Below the fire of Sakeh, Shebishitasa, below